The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Ryan Pills,
Leah Meadows,
Lincoln Meadows,
and Xander Meadows.
In the house! Way to go. This is a great intro already. We've got some extra special Tantrum-specific hosts that are joining us this evening. Yeah, thank you guys.
Hi.
Welcome, boys.
Hi.
We had a lot of fun tonight. We are kind of slowly getting back into the swing with our community game nights. And so we're, you know, making sure we got extra space and encouraging all the hand sanitization. And tonight we had a lot of fun. We had a nice little small crew, and the boys got to join us. We got to play a bunch of different games tonight. Yeah. What was some of the fun stuff that you guys got to do?
So the first game we played Marvel United.
What?
Which is a pretty new game.
Yeah, brand new from CMON.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. We played against Red Skull, mm-hmm. and we played with me, Dad, and two other people.
Yep.
What were the hero characters you guys played?
I played as Wasp. What did you play as?
I was Iron Man.
Oh. And then the other two people played as Hulk and Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember who the fourth one was either. We did great. We won. We actually, in the game, you pick what the villain is going to be for the round. We faced off against Red Skull, and then you have like six different randomly chosen buildings, and then on each of those buildings you have like a challenge that you have to overcome. It might be a henchman, or it might be like a specific goal where you're trying to achieve. On your turn, you'll draw a card and then play one of the cards from your hand, and basically you're going to either be moving, attacking, maybe playing like a wild card that you can do anything with, or there's at least one other thing.
Rescuing thugs or villains.
Yeah, well, taking out thugs, beating up thugs,
or
rescuing villains.
Pedestrians, civilians.
And one of the interesting things about the game is that it takes place over like a storyline. So when you play your cards to the table, you play your card, and then you get to take the actions on your card as well as the actions on the card played just before yours. So you can kind of talk to each other and kind of stack up like, okay, if I play two wilds, that'll let you move on your turn and do whatever. And then every third card, one of the villain's cards, is added to the story.
Yeah.
And you have to try to overcome him. And once you get two of your objectives done, then the villain cards start coming out every two cards. I misread that in the rules, so we started off with them coming out every two cards.
Yeah,
it was a little hard, but we did it.
I heard the game plays pretty fast.
It did. It was pretty quick. We played the first round, and I think the bosses for like the, because it comes with a couple different bosses that you can fight off against.
Yeah.
I think they're more difficult.
I heard that the player powers are not that, they're very similar. They all have different powers, but they're pretty similar, whereas the bosses are like way different. That's
Ooh.
What I've heard.
We haven't played the other bosses.
Yeah, we only played Red Skull.
Okay. Liam's was pretty cool. You played Wasp.
Yeah.
And you had several cards that allowed you to like move anywhere on the board, which was nice. Iron Man has the ability to like give other people power-ups, basically, so I could like give other people stuff on their turn. Hulk had the ability to like smash adjacent room spaces and things. And there was like, I don't even know, 10 probably superheroes to choose from. At least. There was a lot, it seemed like.
So do they have specific decks that you're playing
You
then?
Do, yep. You have your own little super cool miniature, and they're like, I don't know, are they called chibi? They're like miniature versions of heroes. And then, yeah, each player has their own deck. And yeah, it was a good experience. I enjoyed it.
So for people who are wondering how they can get a copy, they can find it at Walmart in August.
Okay, cool. Keep an eye out for that one. That was fun. Lincoln, what did you get to play?
We played Supercats.
Oh, yeah?
From the op. Very cool.
Ryan, Liam, and then me and Xander.
And you guys played that on like our Saturday morning show a while back.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you guys did. Yeah, and you've enjoyed it a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
So who became the ultimate bad guy?
Xander won, so then me, Ryan, and Liam were Robodog.
But there's four of them, so I lost.
Yeah,
they beat me.
Robodog won.
I heard in the corner, Supercats,
Super Cats.
So is that part of, like, the better you can do that, the better you're going to play?
Well, I guess.
Not exactly.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. So it's like rock, paper, scissors. You go rock, super, cats. And then you play like 5 to 0.
Okay.
Yeah. Number, and then they all do different things.
Yeah. The highest number wins. And if you play an identical number to somebody else, it cancels it out. Mm. So a lower number can win. And I was really surprised that Xander was able to win one of the hands because three of us all cast 5 at the same time, and he cast 0.
Good job, Xander.
He got to flip 2 cards at the same time.
Oh, nice.
It was amazing. I didn't think anybody was ever going to play the 0, and then there it was. Strategy.
Yeah, and when we were the robot dog, Ryan just played 0 every time.
Yeah.
Just in case.
During the robot dog, if you play 0 and you win, then you get to heal back up. Well, I was like, I'm shutting that down.
Nobody's going to be healing this round.
He was playing hardball, Xander.
Yeah.
Now, when I got in the car, you guys all said, I said, what game did you play tonight? And they all said, Codenames Disney. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it was hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
I think it's the hardest version of Codenames I've played.
Wow.
It was me.
Yeah.
So
Liam.
Me and Liam went. And
on a team?
Lincoln and Ryan went.
Yeah. Xander won. We played 3 rounds. Me and Xander won 2. And Ryan and Lincoln.
Yeah,
the last
round was honestly amazing. Because they had 1 card left. We played only one card. So, like, all the ambassadors, like, every time we just played ambassadors on accident. And then, like, we only had 1 card down. And then he was like, I guess this is kind of a cheat. Like, he said, Slipper Infinity.
No,
that's not a cheat.
Unlimited. That's, yeah. Unlimited. Yeah. And then I guess 5 in 1 turn.
What?
All right.
All of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and Xander had 1 left.
Was the slipper any of them? Was it just one of them?
No, it was 1.
The slipper was Cinderella, and then I was hoping he would get, based on the previous clues.
Yeah,
it was catch up on the other one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a legal play. You're allowed to do that.
That is legal. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. And so then you didn't win, but you came back.
No, they won.
They did win.
Yeah, yeah, we won.
It was 5 remaining. Versus 1 remaining, and I was like, well, we got to go all in.
Now, you guys have the Marvel code names.
Yeah.
Have you played that one recently?
Not recently.
I think that's pretty difficult.
I think it's harder than Disney.
I think it's harder than Disney. You guys have to try it sometime and let us know in the future if you think Marvel's harder or Disney's harder.
I will admit that Ryan rocked it at Marvel. Yeah. Like, he knows so many backstories.
He knows
and
so much
else.
That no one else does know.
He
so.
Needs to find someone on his own par with the Marvel knowledge
maybe
that it's a
boys.
Fair game.
Maybe the boys.
Yeah, maybe. Them. You guys would be a good team with him.
What was the alligator that has a lawyer friend that's a girl that I don't see?
I remember that
I
game
have no
too.
Idea.
Yeah, you were like lawyer 3.
Or maybe it was like She-Hulk or something.
She-Hulk's a lawyer. So
we had
Daredevil.
No idea.
But there was an alligator or some sort of like reptile that's also a lawyer or something.
Dates one or something. I don't remember. It was something like that.
Know.
You were like, they date a lawyer.
that's what it was. It was really where I was like, whoa.
Great clue. Way over our heads.
I remember this clue. So next time
from
Ryan. From years ago that Ryan pulled out. I'm like, and Ryan doesn't even remember.
I don't know of any alligator thing. I'd have to look.
Maybe it was a reptile.
I think it was like Croc. What's his name?
Wizard? It's not Abomination.
Spider-Man's bad guy. Reptile.
Lizard?
Abomination?
Lizard, yeah.
Yeah, Lizard.
I don't know.
I don't know what that has to do with being a lawyer.
Neither did we.
Yeah. But maybe he dated a lawyer or something.
I don't know.
Feel confident.
I heard.
Somebody dated a lawyer in it.
That there was another game that was surprisingly amazing from game night tonight. That the boys told me about.
Mm.
You guys played Detective.
Yeah, we played Detective Club.
Detective Club, and that is from Blue Orange?
Yep.
Okay, tell us quickly what the game is.
Okay, first thing I needed to say is I won.
Whoa, way to go.
There was a lot of rounds where, like, I got the scratch, like, 3 times.
I never got the scratch.
Okay, how do you play the game, real quick? Like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, so one person has a notepad, and they write some word on all the papers, except one, they just write a scratch, and then they give them all out, and one person has the scratch. You have 6 cards in your hand, and you play 1 card that, like, describes...
They're kind of Dixit-like cards, where it's, like, really illustrative, could-mean-anything cards.
Okay.
And then one person has the scratch, and then they don't know what the word is, but everyone else does, so they just try to match what they're playing.
So a little more like the spy
yep,
game.
Yep, kind of like Spyfall meets Dixit for sure.
Spyfall meets Dixit.
And so then you play the card, and then when they reveal what the word was that was written on everybody's, then everybody gets a chance to defend why they played the cards they did.
Yeah.
And sometimes there were some great ones. One of the guys was like, so I just picked the opposite. I didn't have any good cards. I just picked the opposite of what the word was. We're all like, yeah, you didn't know what the word was.
So what was the key to winning, Liam?
It was pretty easy to guess who's lying because half the time I was lying. So
he knew he was lying. So,
and sometimes you have to try to make it like obvious so they don't go for you. Sometimes that's just the best way to do it.
One time, David Urich was, he was like, yeah, this card has this on it, and then I was like, what is the other card? And he was just like, oh.
Called him. Yeah. Yep, it was pretty great. We had a good time. Got a lot of laughs. I think Liam did pretty much crush us, which was exciting. Yeah, fun stuff. I got to play all those games. I also got to play a game of Suro tonight, which is fun. It's been a long time since I played that. I tied for winning. We actually played every single tile. I've never played a game where every single tile made it onto the board.
I've done that before.
Yeah, I haven't played it enough, but it was fun. And I played one more game. I can't remember what it was.
Melissa.
You played that prototype?
Oh, yeah, we played a little game playtesting action. That was
cool.
Fun.
I was able to play Sonora from Pandasaurus Games.
You got to try it, yeah.
Finally.
What'd you think?
I got to play a game, you know, that's over at Will and Sarah's house.
Yes.
So
that's why we have game nights, so we can cross-pollinate. So
I did not get to play because I was teaching games at that point, but we are borrowing it. It's in our car right now.
Oh, that's why I came home with your games.
I enjoyed it. I'm interested in playing again now that I know what I did to not win. So it's a flicking game where you're like sort of roll and write flicking game. So interested in playing it again for the second time and teaching Melissa and beating her.
How many points did Sarah crush you by? What was your score?
She was in the 220s.
Oh, she got
224. Although Jonah played his first game.
And he got 218.
218.
So he was super close to Sarah. I was in the 160s. Yeah. So
200 is about the high range.
And we figured out at the beginning that he had missed a bonus or something. So
I'm pretty sure he cheated then.
Probably could have pulled it out.
Cool. Yeah, Melissa and I actually were able to finish our campaign for King's Dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
That took us 17 games, and I was thinking it probably most games are between 12 to 16. It just really depends on how you're getting the cards out in the game. I am glad that the campaign is over. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah? Not the Spiel des Jahres winner.
It was not it was one of the Kenner Spiel nominees, and it was interesting in the game mechanics. And I understand maybe why it was nominated, but I knew it was not going to win.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think for this game, you really need a group that's going to almost role play it and really get into that negotiation and sort of backstabbing. And that just wasn't our group. It was kind of like, Pete's going to throw around his extra power and he's going to win this one.
The interesting thing was we all felt that Pete was winning throughout the whole game. Like he was pretty much in control through all 17 games, but Richard Lanius won. He won the campaign because there are specific rules that come out at the end of the game that you have no idea. Through the whole campaign, you have no this. Yes and no luck.
Secret objectives?
There's rule cards that come out at the very end that says this is how you win the campaign based on these things that you're getting throughout the game that you don't really know what they mean.
So was it like it could have been anybody's game in the last round?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It could have been anybody's game.
If I had done something differently or if Pete had done something differently,
No.
Pete probably would have won.
No, even if Pete had decided to go black, he would have still lost.
If I had gone white.
If you had gone white, then you would have helped Pete win.
If I had been loyal instead of rebellious.
So
interesting. I would love to actually just try one or two rounds just to see what it really is because I've seen it from a distance, but I would, you don't really get into the mindset when you're just observing it. So I think it would be a game that I might enjoy. I don't enjoy any game 17 times, would you say?
17 games. And
in a row.
Yeah, the setup for the game at the campaign for the end is just super long to set up the game. And you're like putting out like 30 cards in a row and counting things. And yeah, the beginning few games I really enjoyed towards the end of the campaign. Yeah. Anybody else play any other games? We played Sagrada Life. I know that's going to be previewed this week at Gen Con.
I got to try Pictures, which was the Spiel winner, and I played with Jonah and Chantel. I think Jonah and Chantel enjoyed it for it being almost an art type game.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
Jonah does not enjoy drawing games, but there's no drawing. You're just using the different components to represent the stuff. So we had a good time. That was my second time playing. And I think I enjoyed it more this time since I knew a little bit more what I was doing this time.
Cool.
Did Jonah lose?
Well, actually, I think I won by 1 point. And Jonah and Chantel, I think the score was 15, 15, and 16.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's real close.
We should jump into our new segment. Today in the news, we have three different items to talk about. The first is in history, and we have Titanic, the game, based on the 20th Century Studios Titanic by James Cameron. This game recreates the sinking of the ship with characters from the film. Starting on the bottom level of the ship, players have to work their way to the top to get off the ship. But as the game is played, the ship can break apart and sections can become blocked by flooded water. Find the heart of the ocean before you escape for a special bonus.
In pop culture, Ravensburger has published Marvel Villainous. This is a Marvel-themed version of Villainous, but it is not compatible with the Disney version because there are slightly different mechanics in the game. And you can choose to play as Thanos, Hela, Ultron, Taskmaster, or Killmonger. So if you want to play as Marvel villains, then check out Marvel Villainous from Ravensburger.
And last, we have a partnership with CMON and GameGenic. You might be familiar with that name because we talked about them last week. GameGenic is partnering with Catan Studio. So this one is a collaboration on multiple projects with CMON and some of their game lines, but it will kick off with their highly anticipated launch of CMON's Massive Darkness 2, which we're going to talk about in our Kickstarter, Conniption.
But let's turn it over right now and give a shout-out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Bezier Games. I believe that Whistle Mountain is still available for pre-order, so check that out on their website. And they have a Kickstarter starting this week. It is Ultimate Werewolf Extreme.
That's our cue to jump into the Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode will be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of August 3rd, 2020. Will, start us off.
All right, so I'm starting us off by talking about the new Ultimate Werewolf Extreme game. And I've got three huge werewolf fans here hanging out with us still. Tell me why you guys like normal werewolf so much. Do you have any ideas? What are your thoughts?
I like it because it can get really crazy and you can start in a big argument and it's really fun.
He just likes to lie.
Like arguing. Yeah, exactly. Well, the new Werewolf Extreme game will allow you to play from 3 to 25 players. What's the biggest game you guys have ever played?
Like
18. 18?
Yeah.
That's a lot. We played a bunch.
Actually, I think I've gotten bigger than that. Like, I think I got 20. 20?
Woo. 25 sounds pretty insane. The new game box is actually going to come with enough cards to play three simultaneous games of the game at the same time. One of the things that sounds most interesting about the new one is there's an app for it, and the app will do a couple of different things. One is it will help you set up your card deck, so you'll put in the number of players that you have, and it'll assign everything so that you know which cards to use for the game. The crazy thing is, and I'm just going to read this because I don't even know how to explain it, says that the game moderator app will automatically scan cards, players' names, and player faces.
What?
Placing them into the app and using that information to run the game. So you still need a moderator, it sounds like, but the game is going to run you through everything, help you remember which things to do. And I guess even keep track of who is still in the game and who's out and what roles they got.
Maybe it's if you forget who you are, it'll show you your face and be like, you're the
you
Tanner.
You are the... Yeah, maybe. The crazy thing is, like, a lot of those roles switch, like... I know one role allows you to switch who players are in the middle of the night. is it going to like remember your faces and know who's what roles? Love it. Sounds crazy. It's boasting a new role balancing system, which will help you with like figuring out the number of werewolves for any size game. It's got a bunch of optional rules that will increase the difficulty. There's like new invisible lichens and alternate nominees. I guess there's, I don't know what this means either, but celebrations for werewolf elimination. So if you get rid of a werewolf, it's going to reduce your villager abilities. That doesn't sound like a celebration. It sounds like it hurts the town. Anyway, this will be another, I'm sure, great addition to their lineup of games. When we were talking about this just a minute ago, the boys immediately said, when can we get it? I don't know when it's going to be done, but it's coming to Kickstarter next week. So if you're interested in Werewolf, Ultimate Werewolf Extreme from Bezier Games, be sure to check that one out. Coming soon. Kevin, what do you got?
I have Lunar Base. This is a game for 2 to 6 players. It takes about 15 to 30 minutes to play. You're establishing your lunar station and constructing powerful modules to win the space race. Now, in the game, it's a card game where you're drafting cards and playing your cards to expand your base, trying to like connect different colors on the cards together to create your space base, making shipments from Earth, working to your advantage to recruit agents and sending them to infiltrate opponent spaces to hasten your own expansion or hindering the progress of your competitors. Defeat your rivals and achieve lunar dominance by housing the most colonists, gaining the most influence, hoarding the most lunar credits, or earning the most renown through scientific achievements. And that's Lunar Base coming this week, and it's for 2 to 6 players, plays in about 30 minutes. Ryan.
Coming August 4th from CMON is Massive Darkness 2. Yeah. So if you are a fan of Massive Darkness or Zombicide, you should check this out. This game comes with some revamped rules from the original Massive Darkness. It now has a campaign mode. The hero classes are more asymmetrical, so everybody feels like they're contributing something unique to the game. There's a new enemy type called bosses. And again, there's a lot that's carried over. The enemies will still use equipment against you that you can then defeat them and gain that equipment. Now the equipment comes in varied tiers. So there's like common, legendary, epic. So it's been totally revamped from the ground up, and it looks like it's going to be a really fun game. If you like that style of game, I do. You should check it out. August 4th from CMON.
All right, next up, we want to welcome our house guest to the house. We've got Travis Reynolds from Queen Games joining us. Let's welcome him in.
Hey! Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Travis, you're with Queen Games. Tell us a little bit about Queen Games.
So Queen Games is a German-based publisher of Euro-style family and strategy games. We've been around for just over 30 years. Over that time, we produced a lot of games. I mean, we have a pretty huge catalog. Some of the highlights are Alhambra and Kingdom Builder, which were Spiel des Jahres winners in 2003 and 2012. And then we've got all sorts of other games. You know, we've got Escape, Fresco, Lancaster, Amerigo, mm-hmm. Merlin, just on and on and on.
On and on. Yeah, I think Alhambra, the one you mentioned there, is one of my wife and ours favorite tile laying games. We really enjoy playing that and introducing that to people because it has that gateway type where you're, you know, just laying tiles in your own little tableau area. So it's easy to for people to understand what you're trying to do. So yeah.
I like Alhambra a lot. When I think of like the classic intro games to Euro gaming, I think Carcassonne, Ticket to Ride, and I think Alhambra fits right there in the same spot.
I'm with you. So we have you on the show today to talk about some upcoming projects that Queen Games is going to be, that is currently working on, but going to hit Kickstarter. And Queen Games has been sort of teasing out images and information about the Steffenfeld City Collection. Tell us a little bit about it, and we'll dive in just a minute.
Sure, yeah. We certainly did tease some folks. We showed them some images, and we had some people kind of riled up. But we recently released that the Steffenfeld City Collection is going to be 8 plus games. So it'll be definitely more than 8. The first two, it'll come out in waves of two. So the first Kickstarter on August 18th will feature the first two games, which is Hamburg and Amsterdam. Hamburg is a re-implementation of a classic Feld game called Bruges. And Amsterdam is a re-implementation of Macau, which is also another very popular out-of-print Feld title. So they're not going to be direct reprints. They have been working, Stefan and our developers have been working on them, modifying, making changes, improvements that he thinks he would have liked to have done. Plus, for example, there were two expansions for Bruges, City on the Zwin and a Pets expansion. So those are going to both be included content in addition to all the new content and modifications and stuff. And on top of that, all these games that we do on Kickstarter for the Feld collection are going to be deluxified. So they're going to have upgraded components, for example, like the acrylic tiles we did in Copenhagen and things of that nature.
I've played Bruges. It is a really cool city building game. And I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to look at, think about it, because it's been a while since I have played it. But you have sort of the city board in the middle, and there's like this outer track, right?
Right, right. And you in Bruges, you would draw cards, and you had to build houses in order to put people in.
That's right.
Right. So, and some of that has changed a little, but yes, that's exactly the game you're thinking of. And you build walls. Walls are going to score
right.
you, and you have to advance the mayor to collect the statues in the middle of town. Yeah.
So the sort of re-implementation is going to be called Hamburg, you said? Hamburg for Bruges?
Right, Hamburg, yes.
Hamburg. And Stefan has sort of changed a little bit of it, or just maybe refined it, you said?
A little bit of both. I mean, there are some changes. There's some new content, and then there's some refinements. Things he thinks are, good additions or revisions to the original design. So it will really end up, I think, probably being its own game, but there certainly is plenty of Bruges in there. It just won't be nobody should be looking for an exact duplicate. My hope is that everybody should be looking for, an improved and better game. So we'll see.
Cool. So that means that, all new artwork and things like that for the game. But I kind of like the Bruges artwork. It was kind of cool. But I'm assuming it's going to be based off the Hamburg city. So
yeah, exactly. And where we're not remaking Bruges, we didn't want to try and use the original artwork because that would make people think it's the same game and it's not. So definitely all new artwork. A lot of which we teased on the different social media platforms, including the covers. And of course, we teased the sides of the boxes. One of the neat things we're doing with the collection is each game, if it's placed vertically on a shelf, the sides will line up to form a cityscape with a tower building from each city being on the side as kind of a highlight. So they will all line up to form like a landscape city view.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Even though they're all from different cities. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, even though they're all different cities, and each one will have the Stefan Feld City Collection emblem at the top, and each one is numbered. So it'll be a nice collectible thing for fans of Stefan and all the Feld games. So we're pretty excited about that. And then that's really all we've shared so far is the cover and the side panels. But, yeah, we've got lots more art to share, boards and cards and bits and all sorts of internal art.
I've not played Macau, and that is now called Amsterdam. I mean, it's the new game, but sort of what? Tell me a little bit about this. What that game is about. What are you trying to do in the game?
So in Macau, you were collecting goods and trying to ship them out to various islands and other locations, and you were building off various offices and cards that you would play to enhance your ability to do things. But one of the central piece. A lot of Feld games kind of have a central mechanic. And for example, in Bruges, it's card drafting, right? Not card drafting, but building up a hand of cards and playing them. In Macau, we have a thing he calls the Windrose. And the Windrose is like it sort of looks like a rondelle with six locations. And on your turn, you're going to have some dice. And you can choose the dice you want. And whatever number you choose on the dice, that's how far from your current location you're going to place cubes. So if you choose a six, you're going to get to place six cubes, but you're not going to get to use them for six turns. Whereas if you take a one, You can put it in there, and next turn you're going to get to use it, but there's only going to be one of them. So you kind of have to plan out, like, okay, I need some cubes here and here. So the Windrose turns one each turn, and then all the cubes that are in that segment get activated, and that's what you do to you to do to, you know, feed the activities and actions that you take during the game.
I found in games personally, I liked games where they've used dice in unique ways. You know, you have the dice worker placement and the way that you can use pips. So I'm intrigued by this one. And Amsterdam, I like the city. So that's pretty cool. Looking forward to that one. Now, so like you said, the Steffenfeld City Collection is more than 8 games, but the first Kickstarter is just going to be releasing these first two, Hamburg and Amsterdam, in a sort of a pack, I'm guessing is what you would call it.
So there's going to be several options. Our plan is to try to do one about every 9 months. It may be more frequent or a little less, but so we'll do Amsterdam and Hamburg, which are 1 and 2. And hopefully about 9 months later, we'll do the next two, which are, we haven't announced these yet. The titles we have, but not the games, which is New York. We haven't said which one that is. And then New York City. And the other one is Marrakesh. So that's 3 and 4. And Marrakesh is a brand new game. So that will be 3 and 4. But on the first Kickstarter, you'll have several choices. You can pick up Hamburg on its own. You can pick up Amsterdam on its own. You can buy them as a bundle, or you'll be able to go ahead and pay for the first 4 games and lock them in. And there's some special benefits that go along with that. There's some really good incentive for people to look early, because we're going to have some limited number of things that are only going to be available if you get them, you know, you're the early people to grab them. So there's kind of some incentive for that. So there's a lot of neat things we're going to be doing that we think will create some good excitement and be neat for a lot of the fans for Feld. So a lot of options.
That sounds really, really interesting. So you've revealed the first 4 box covers, or at least the sides of the boxes.
Sides of the boxes. We have not revealed the covers for New York and Marrakesh yet. New York is about done and Marrakesh is not. So when they are revealed, we expect to have them in time to show them on the campaign, because if we're offering someone the opportunity to buy all 4 of them, we'd like them to at least see the cover and have some idea about what the game is. So we expect to have the campaign.
Marrakesh is a city in Morocco, and I'm assuming that it has to do something with trade. I mean, I'm trying to guess here, something with like trading or something. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think those two cities tell you that we're not just doing cities in Europe; we're going all around the world.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because you have the New York City skyline and then Marrakesh. That's pretty cool. So those games are definitely, I'm definitely intrigued by those, and definitely looks. So the Kickstarter for the first one will be sometime, and is the date been revealed in August sometime, or September?
August 18th.
Okay, August 18th. So listeners, look forward to this Kickstarter from Queen Games, August 18th. Let's move into past Kickstarters that are in late pledge status. You do your late pledge manager on CrowdOx, so people can go to CrowdOx and look up. You just finished the Alhambra Roll and Write. Tell me a little bit about what people can, if they miss the Kickstarter, what they can purchase on the late pledge manager.
So we have a number that are still open and for the pledge manager to late pledge, but Alhambra Roll and Write was kind of special in that in the pledge manager there, we tried to offer everything that would have been an Essen release for us. And so for the people who aren't going to Essen, because annually we have a lot of people, say you live in Germany or Europe, and we're going to have a Kickstarter game, but you can grab it at Essen. A lot of people will opt to not kickstart and get it. Kickstarter for us is primarily a way to reach distribution in places where it's very difficult to, you know, reach our fans. But, you know, if they're there and they're at Essen every year, I don't know if you guys have been, we have huge booth at Essen. And
Will and Sarah were able to go to Essen last year. So of course, not this upcoming year.
right.
But yeah, they loved it.
It's great. You have to check it out for sure. So a lot of people will count on just picking it up there because then they don't have to pay shipping. But you know, this year there were probably a lot of people who planned to pick up, say, Winter Kingdom, which is a big release for us from Donald Vaccarino. And now that there's not an Essen, we wanted to give them the opportunity to pick it up anyway. So that plus the Fresco Mega Box and the Merlin Big Box and the Escape Roll and Write, all those things are available on the Alhambra Roll and Write campaign as a add-on in the Pledge Manager. So
they very can cool. Speaking of, no, go for it. So speaking of Winter Kingdom, you were mentioning to me before we started recording about the tabletop simulator. I know a lot of publishers are sort of dipping their toes and feet into or wading into tabletop or online, sort of implementing that online gaming in some way. And Winter Kingdom and Zen Garden were two that I know were sort of past Gen Con, but you sort of made available for people to play during Gen Con. Why did you choose those two games?
Well, I mean, Zen Garden, as you know, that was a spring release for us. And what really very little has happened for anybody since the spring, right? Games come out, people have been locked in their homes. So Gen Con has been the first digital event that we're participating in, Gen Con online. By the time this hits, people will have just played. So Winter Kingdom and Zen Garden are the two newer titles we're choosing to show. I think Zen Garden is a game, and you guys played it. I think it's a game that if you play it, that's a key for you, right? You play it if you like tile placement. Playing it and seeing how those tiles interact and how the different scoring options really influence the game and how the market works and what tiles people buy. So we think that's a great demo game. And of course, people were really anxious to have seen Winter Kingdom. So it's a follow-up to Vaccarino's Kingdom Builder. So people are really anxious to see it. So
I will be honest. One of the things that frustrate me when I am playing in Tabletop Simulator or other online platforms are I'm just really bad at picking things up and moving them. And when there's lots of little pieces, so you know, for instance, like Zen Garden, all you're really doing is moving tiles around. So it's a little bit, I think, simpler in what you're trying to accomplish in the game. So I think that probably will help people learn and play the game, and then they can go buy the cardboard version of it. Zen Garden's it's a really fun game with you're creating your own Zen Garden. So I've been enjoying playing it.
I share a similar frustration. Some of my friends really prefer a tabletop simulator. I prefer playing on some of the website implementations that are more like an app. For example, Board Game Arena, and we have several games in development to go up there. So we're kind of late to the digital presence thing, but we're kind of jumping in with a bang. And for our tabletop simulator mods, there's a lot of mods out there. It's certainly not an expertise area for us. So what I did was I went and got a bunch of recommendations on who makes the best mods, and I contacted those guys and said, hey, can we get you to make some mods for us? So we think that they're going to be nice. The frustrations I share with you, I mean, anchor points help a lot with that in tabletop simulator mods, for it'll anchor down tokens or anchors down tiles or whatever.
Yep.
And I think with Zen Garden, that'll be great because, you know, all the garden grid, the 4x4 will be anchor points, and the sales market will be anchor points, and the scoring, the money track around the perimeter should be. So I think it'll be an okay implementation.
Cool. Speaking of conventions, you run conventions. Plug a little bit about what you do outside of Queen Games.
So I've been running a convention called CharCon here in Charleston, West Virginia now since 2006. So we're closing in on 15 years. We have it right in downtown Charleston. It's not very big. We started in 06 with about 375 people. And last year we were at around, I think, 850 or so. So, you know, we're creeping towards 1,000. I'm not sure we'll ever get over. Our venue is getting pretty close to capacity. We focus on, you know, tabletop gaming, role playing, and some miniatures. We have a lot of great vendors. We've got a lot of nice, fun activity stuff like panels, and we have some good nighttime things like a big karaoke party that we do. And it's really just a big family, and we keep pulling in more family members every year. I think I think you guys do a qualifier for the Envoy Championships. And then we host the regionals, so we get to kind of share some attendees that way.
Very cool.
It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, the, I,
It's a lot of work, as you know.
Of course. We have another couple that joins us to make sure that it goes without a hitch. But yeah, speaking of the conventions this year, we were just talking to our hotel what, you know, what sort of procedures need to be in place, you know, for doing a convention, because we're planning on still doing it in February 2021. And they were saying, yeah, it's not going to be like it probably was last year, but we're going to put some sort of numbers in place so that just a certain number of people can be in a room at a time and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know what you've been dealing with, but yeah.
We canceled for this year. Our dates were 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. So
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
We just decided up front rather than struggle with it. Everybody's going to try to move to later in the year. We'll be competing against so many things, you know, not just tabletop or gaming in general, but outside of that. Just and you guys probably got lucky, right? You got in just before problems. And
we did. We are one of the very few tabletop conventions that was in 2020. So we have claim to fame, I guess, if you want to call it. We snuck in right before everything shut down because ours was the beginning of February. So
First event I missed was I was going to go to the proto event that they do in Atlanta, Steve Avery and those guys. Yep. And that was one of the first things to get canceled that I had on the schedule. And now, of course, it's just everything back to back. So hopefully by February, there's not any problems. I mean, right now we're moving in the wrong direction again, but hopefully things turn around and we all get to see each other again sometime and actually share wooden components and cards and not have to worry about it. And, you know, masks and touching each other and way to go, right?
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate it, Travis. Real quick, tell people where they can find more information about Queen Games.
So we're on Twitter in the U.S. It's Queen Games U.S. and we're on Facebook. You can find us. It's Queen Games English. If you're looking for information about things we have for sale in the U.S., a good way is either queengames.shop or on Amazon. We sell stuff there too.
Great. Well, once again, don't forget the Kickstarter for the Stefan Feld City Collection. At least the first two games is going to be launching August 18th. So look forward to that. Thanks again, Travis.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Bye. It's always great talking to Travis and seeing what's up with Queen Games. I'm definitely interested in the Stefan Feld City Collection and definitely interested in some of the newer ones. The Amsterdam one and Hamburg are cool, but I'm definitely interested in the ones that are coming later. The New York City with the skyline and then the Marrakesh. Those two definitely intrigue me. So looking forward to those from the Stefan Feld City Collection. We do have some videos that will be coming to our channel this week. I know Bushido, the card game, Jonah, and Chantel are doing a preview of that. I'm doing a preview of Lunar Base. And then hopefully I'll have my block video, which talks about new upcoming Kickstarters. If you're not familiar with that, you can check that out on our channel later this week. I believe that'll go live August 9th. And we had a lot of videos that hit our channel last week on YouTube. Not only did we have our 8-hour Gen Con show.
I hate when we do these time travel things because we don't get to talk about the full experience as awesomely as we should and could. So we'll definitely have to recount that for you guys post-event. But it will have already happened by the time you're listening to this episode. We are teaming up with CGE to play a bunch of their games all day long on Friday or Saturday, one of those time travel days.
August 1st.
Yeah, to play a bunch of their games for Gen Con. So hopefully you got a chance to tune into that. I believe those videos will still be on our YouTube channel. So if you're interested in seeing some of the fun that we had playing through 8 hours worth of CGE games, be sure to check that one out.
Melissa and I also recorded our top 10 gateway games.
Yeah!
And that should already be live on our channel too.
I may have watched 90% of that today. It was very cool.
Did you?
Yeah. I was glad you were convinced to stick Hanabi in your lineup.
Sort of.
Sorry.
So if you want to hear that story, you can check our Tantrum Talks
from July on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, what makes a good gateway game. Yeah, I actually really did enjoy. We probably rambled a little bit too much on
it.
It
was all right.
But I was like, it was just more off the cuff. We had the games. We had some bullet points. But I enjoyed those. It's a lot of editing. Ooh. I was pulling a lot of B-roll.
I saw some footage from some of the terrible two-minute reviews, some of the tantrum throwdowns.
Good old-school throwbacks in there. I thought that was great.
There's some good cuts here, and I'm not going to pull that in and do that.
Yeah,
so.
I like the format you guys used as well. When you watch the video, they gave a game that fits the category of gateway game, but then they also recommended an additional game for each one of them that was
simpler.
Lighter. Every time lighter, a little bit easier, even more gateway to jump into.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So if you were trying to introduce somebody to the mechanic or whatever, they had a good match for that. And then,
usually that simpler game is even cheaper, less expensive. So it's even more accessible, I think. So.
Easy to get your hands on, too. I actually didn't get to watch this. I'm sorry. I was working, and I didn't go back. But I was curious how you guys' experience went with the new Tantrum House Last Call.
Our Kickstarter Last Call. Yeah, so a couple things that went well. Melissa was able to join me. So a lot of people were like, oh, it's good to have Melissa and Kevin do the show.
And we were saying we weren't sure how often I'd be able to be on. I had that Friday off, so it was convenient. But many, many people said, keep Melissa.
So, a couple things that we can definitely improve with what we're actually showing. So we went through the Kickstarter page, which was good because we actually can see the content. And then we had a little segment about games that are past Kickstarter and they were in late pledge status. People actually really, really liked that.
Good.
But the late pledge page doesn't have a lot of pictures or information.
Visuals.
So I think, someone said, or Melissa said it, is actually just go find the Kickstarter page, have that up, show the people where they can find it on whatever late pledge website there is, and then go to the Kickstarter page and show some of the stuff. I think that actually would be helpful for the future.
Great idea.
I'm not sure if we're going to do YouTube again, so I might switch to Facebook.
Okay.
YouTube, we had probably 20, 25 people live with us that were interacting with us. I'm just wondering if Facebook still might be a little bit better of a venue because you are just scrolling through stuff and just sort of talking about what the project is. So we'll maybe next month try Facebook and see which one I like better.
Cool. Yeah, and that segment, since we didn't fully explain it, is one of the things that we unlocked basically on our Kickstarter earlier this year, and the idea is that Kevin or somebody on the team is going to go back. Probably Kevin.
So Will do it next month. That's what he just said.
and take a look at some of the Kickstarters. We try to do a good job of giving you guys a picture of the Kickstarters that are coming. But then a lot of times those Kickstarters, we only have a little bit of the picture. They hit a bunch of stretch goals. The game is huge by the time it gets to the end. And some of those are things that, we don't want to miss out on. We don't want you guys to miss out on them. And so being able to kind of pre-review those right at the end of the month before they're about to end is a great way to kind of make sure that you don't miss some of the great stuff that we may not have had as much information on the front end. So, yeah, I think that it sounds like a great idea. It'll be interesting to see what the Facebook response is. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those things where we have to kind of grow the audience, make it a regular thing. People will anticipate it coming.
Overall, I think people really thought it was a good thing. I think overall. So definitely some improvements to make. I think we need to adjust some of the graphic because Melissa was in it. So
yeah, I definitely designed it for one person's face.
Yeah. Melissa, before we trying to adjust that kind of thing.
It was perched over your shoulder. I didn't see it.
I was saw half of my face and most of Melissa, but it was okay.
Yeah. We'll get that one figured out.
Yeah. So I know I would recommend checking out some of these new things that we're doing. I love doing the top 10 gateway games. I think we need to get other studios to do more top 10 stuff. I know Sarah just did her top 20 games. Ryan's going to be working on his top 10 games of all time.
What? That's huge.
His top 10 games of all time.
What? Give me one game that's going to make your list.
Kingsburg.
Probably.
Yep. Kingsburg. Boom. It's on my list too.
I think it's on all of
us. It's everybody's list. You know it's a good game. Go check it out.
Yeah.
But only the first edition.
Ooh.
What?
I agree. I'm on board with Ryan.
I'm with you.
I thought
you meant not the expansion. Do you like the expansion?
I do like the expansions. I think they add some new options to the game without making it overcomplicated. And you don't have to play with them.
See, I don't think I could ever play it without some of the expansion material. Yeah.
I do not like the King's Die. In the base game, I love how you have your own armory that you're basically throwing in at the end of each year.
Yeah, if it's up to me, I always play with all the expansion stuff I can. But if I'm introducing someone to the game,
gatewaying
it, overwhelm them. We just play base game.
That's good. That's nice. That's very good. Yeah, I agree. I felt like the second one, I was hoping for more, and it just didn't. There's no reason to replace the original.
I don't like the artwork in the second one.
It was a little weird.
Mm-hmm. They tried for something else and just, I don't know, didn't
but
achieve it.
The nice thing is the second edition comes with all the expansions, plus a few extras, and the original expansion, I think, is like really out of print. It's very hard to find.
Ooh, true. It's time for
a
reprint.
All right, so we need to figure out some other top 10 categories. So let us know. Email us at hello@tantrummouse.com with top 10 board game
suggestions.
Topics, and we will try and get those out. We have some ideas.
Yeah, so. We got a couple that we can put in the works, but yeah, they are fun to put together. Something else to keep an eye out for. We don't have it quite ready, and because by quite ready, I mean we haven't started yet, but we want to get a survey out to you guys in the very near future. We've talked about it a couple times, just to get your feedback on stuff. It's been a little while since we've kind of crowdsourced ideas and asked for suggestions.
I think we're like right on the 3-year mark right now.
Since our last time of doing it in our total lives.
3 years of podcasting.
Podcasting, oh yes. Yeah. I meant in general across everything, but definitely about the podcast as well. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that this is something that you find relevant and helpful and maybe entertaining as well. And so we're going to try to get, we're working on putting maybe a contest together so we can give away some cool prizes. And if you take a couple minutes to fill out our survey, we'll enter you into that. So keep an eye out for that. We'll have information on that probably in the next episode or two. But we want to keep on pushing forward and encouraging and entertaining and having some fun with you guys.
Yeah, our anniversary is coming up very soon.
I thought she meant like our anniversary.
No. We already had that.
Oh, good. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah. For our third, this would be 3 years.
Yeah, so it would be episode 156, which I think might be this episode.
No, this is episode 155. Did we do one every week?
We did.
We're going to say yes.
Have we not missed one?
We've never missed a week.
We've sometimes
recorded multiple in a week if we were going to be gone.
I feel like there was maybe like a Christmas one or something that we...
No. We recorded something for every
week. You guys are incredible.
We've never missed one.
Wow.
Way to go, confident people.
So next
Love
week.
It.
Next week.
Wow.
We'll have completed 3 years.
I'm glad that we are bringing this up. So
I know.
I've been wanting to redesign our art to include Jonah and Chantel. Mm-hmm. We need to... Yeah, so... Maybe we should have had a survey ready this week.
And we want our here's the other thing: is 200 episodes the like cool thing, or is the 4-year mark? Because 200 episodes would be like 208
to get to the four.
To get to 4
maybe
years.
We'll have like 8 days of celebration.
Eight weeks
of celebration. So I like to party hardy.
So it would actually be like the beginning of the summer would be 200, and then 8 weeks later would be the beginning of August.
Year.
So
200 seems like a more celebratory than 4 years, but
okay, let's work on the 200. We need to get some special guests.
Episode.
Ryan's going to think of a good game to play. He's already got one.
And that's like a year away.
It is like a year away. We're going to expect a lot. Oh, but our 3rd year episode anniversary is next week. I can't believe it. All right, well, cool. I'm going to start working on that right now. We're going to have an incredible episode next week. If you tuned in this week, then make sure you tune in next week because you don't want to miss all the awesome things that I'm going to probably make up, hopefully.
Yep.
And he means make up on the spot.
Right, morning as I realize it's time for our 3-year anniversary. Can't wait. Well, cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hope you had a great time. We'll see you next week when we celebrate like crazy. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.